great to be here. 2 years since I was here, and you've grown. Has everybody grown? I hope so, because we should never, never be standing still in the kingdom of God, you know. And I'm allowed to say that. My husband's coming up 82 and I'm 74, and I want to live each day as if it's my very last day and make the most impact that I can possibly make for the kingdom of God. And I just thank the leadership. I thank Kerry. I thank all of you for giving me the privilege to share with you. But, I really desire to follow the Holy Spirit. And God won't let me get away with things. And I believe there are at least 6 people here that you've got a pain in the lower back. Would you stand up, please, quickly now? Because God is going to heal you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just put your hand on that lower back. And in the name of Jesus, I rebuke every spirit of infirmity, every pain, every inflammation in the tensions in the muscles, in the nerve endings. I rebuke it now, and I release healing in Jesus' name. By his stripes, you have been healed. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Just move your back a little bit where you haven't been able to do it before, and just believe that that pain has gone. Thank you, Jesus. You're my healer. You're my healer. You're my deliverer. You're the one that came to give life and life more abundantly in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Would you just put up your hand if the pain is eased, or you can move a little bit more than you did? Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's so good when we see God is a miracle-working God. And he is a miracle-working God. Believe me. And for those that have never met me, I just want to say this. I come from an abused background for 15 years. I planned murder, attempted suicide, I don't know how many times. But thank God I didn't do it. God had to get me to the end of myself, and you can read my testimony in Dare to Be an Eagle, where I was actually dying totally, and I did die, and I did go to heaven, and I never wanted to come back again, but God sent me back. He said, I've got to work for you to do, Jill. And that's another story. I didn't want to come. He was very glad. Hallelujah. I just want to say, apart from the other 2 books that are there, the one that Dare to Be Intimate, the Holy Spirit, most people haven't met the Holy Spirit as a person. I found that out. And you can find it out in the Bible. And on the front cover of the book, there is a cobweb. And most of us ladies, and we don't like to think of cobwebs in our house, do we? But if we do see them, we swipe them away. But you know what? God doesn't throw away any of us. We are like those cobwebs, nothing at all. Until the dew of the Holy Spirit comes upon our lives. And he makes everything beautiful in his time. Doesn't matter what age you are, what background you are. He brings restoration. And he brings us out to be what he's always destined for us to be. The other book I've got here, I have a fantastic team of about 24 people that serve me, which is absolutely amazing. And one of my team members has written this book, and I carry it with me because I find it such a help. When your partner doesn't know Jesus. How many of you know that when you become the Lord's, and, well, like us, Skippy and I, we didn't have a marriage, I have to say, without God. But when I told him all about Jesus, and he didn't want to know. I wish this book had been there, because this shows you how to pray, how to believe, and how to behave. Hello. I wasn't very wise. I wasn't a wise woman at all, but God brought him to himself anyway. But the best thing about this book is that the last chapter is written by her husband. And it is amazing. They've been in ministry, full-time ministry, for the last 7 years, isn't it, I think? But it's so good. And especially if you don't know how to pray for your children or your neighbors, you know, this is full of good advice. So it's there on the table. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I have a great passion inside me, and I hope I'm going to get it across to each one of you today. I want to focus on 2 of my big, big passions. And one is the name of the Lord. You know, we come from Wales originally, and there's Di the butcher, Di the baker, Di the so-and-so and so-and-so. You know, you have to know who is doing what. And God reveals himself in the word by his name. And his name reflects who he is. And have you discovered you can't know God all at once? You know, when I was saved that day, when Jesus got hold of my life, I fell in love with the man Christ Jesus. I fell in love with my Savior. But I thought that was all. But I've discovered there's so much more. So, you know, in the Bible, God reveals himself by his names. And, you know, he allows people in the Bible to get into problems. And then he reveals a new facet of himself. Let me explain. You see, one of the things that my daughter said to me quite shortly after, well, no, a couple of years perhaps after I was saved, she said, "Mummy, you don't know God is your father." I said, "Of course I do." She said, "No, God has told me to tell you. You don't know him as your father." I wasn't too pleased. So I went to him, to the Lord, and I said, "Father, I do know you, don't I, really? You know? Daddy? Papa?" And then I started weeping. I knew I didn't know him. I said, "Will you teach me? Will you teach me?" And I asked him, "Why didn't I know him as my daddy?" He said, "Because your daddy always promised things, but never, ever was one single promise fulfilled. My dad wanted to give me things. He was totally incapable." So I had plenty of faith for other people to receive from Father God. But when it came down to me, oh no, that seed had been sown into my life. I couldn't believe that those promises were all for me. So I began a journey then. But the journey takes you through the Bible in greater revelation. And I want to share with you a revelation today that really is only in the last 6 months. It's an amazing revelation about something that you have all heard of, the Good Shepherd. Because I've discovered that through the Bible, every time that God reveals himself in a new aspect, the cross is there. And you say, "Really?" Yes, I've discovered it. I'm still discovering it. So I want to tell you a true story. Are you prepared to be little children this afternoon? This afternoon? This morning. This is true, because friends of ours live up in the height of the mountains of Barbara in Wales. They have a sheep farm. And this lovely, lovely couple had one little boy, David Owen. And David Owen had the cord around his neck when he was born. And he was starved of oxygen and it affected him. But he was a lovely boy. And, you know, they knew he wasn't going to live for a long time. They'd been told that. So they are beautiful Christians who love Jesus. And their one desire, could David Owen come to know Jesus as his Savior? That was their cry. Let David Owen be saved before he goes and dies. And one day, an evangelist was visiting, and their farm is always open. And he stayed there, and he was there for 2 weeks. And while he was there, the parents never said anything. They just said, "Lord, use this time." And they noticed that David Owen was sitting on his lap, always around him. And every time that the little boy, he was 10 years old, came to be with the evangelist, this is what he said. And he'd say, "Hold up your left hand." So would you do that now with me? "Hold up your left hand." And he'd hold up little David Owen's left hand. And then he'd say, "The Lord is my shepherd." He would, so can you do that with me now? "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, when you've got a child that's not particularly bright, you repeat it and you repeat it and you repeat it. That's what he did. Day in, day out, all the time he was staying in their house. But it changed. He went like this. "The Lord is my shepherd." Because he said to David Owen, you can only do that when Jesus has come into your heart. So this is what he would do all day. He would go, "The Lord is my shepherd." And you know, they were so thrilled, the parents, so thrilled. But you know, sometimes you think, how real is it? It's so simple, you know. That winter, the snows came in North Wales. And he loved to go with his dad to find the sheep. And they had to get the sheep down from the high ground, down into the valley where it was they could be looked after. And that night after they'd done it, they couldn't find David Owen anywhere. And they went out and they couldn't find him. I mean, heavy, heavy snow, drifting everywhere. All night, all the village, everybody went out onto the mountain. And the next day, and the next night, and the next day, and the next night, their hearts were just losing hope. And one whole week and 7 nights went past. And they were still looking. And they prodded. And deep in the snow drift, they found David Owen. He wasn't alive. But he was holding this thing. When he had no hope, when he was alone, Jesus Christ became the good shepherd to him. And you know, oh, they were sad. But there was some joy inside them. Because they knew that David Owen had come to be with the good shepherd. I want us to do it again. I want you to make sure that you have invited Jesus into your heart. I don't know how long you'll have. Maybe years. But maybe only minutes. Let's do it together. "The Lord is my shepherd." And as you cling to that finger of covenant, just invite him. "Jesus, be my good shepherd forever and ever. And when I'm alone, when I don't know what to do, I will remember you are my good shepherd. And you will not let me go." It's a true story. It thrills me. And I can see tears. I've got tears now. I shared it with about 300 children in Uganda. And about, well, probably nearly all of them stood up to tangibly give their lives to Jesus so that he could be their good shepherd wherever they went. It's a very real story. And it can impact your life forever. In the Bible, when God reveals himself as the good shepherd, his name comes first in Genesis chapter 49. And I looked at it and I thought, that's very strange, Lord. Why doesn't the name the shepherd, Jehovah Rohi, that's what the name is known as, why does it come there? It comes when Jacob was blessing Joseph. And Joseph had been through pits, prison. He went through all rejection and hurt in his family. And somehow or other, God wanted to point out, look, in that situation, I can be the good shepherd. And then we don't see it again at all. But Jehovah Rohi, do you know, how many of you have heard Jehovah Jireh? Yeah, he's your provider. I hope you believe it. Amen. But Jehovah Rohi is actually the most intimate name of God. Its root word is intimate friendship. That's what it means. And that's what I'm after. And that's what I desire for everyone, that you'll have intimate friendship with God as your good shepherd. And we don't see again until we come to David, the shepherd's boy. And somehow or other, God reveals himself. I'll come back to that in a minute. But then as we go on through the Bible, the next time is in Ezekiel. Now, did you hear what I said? Often God allows us to get into problems so that he can reveal another aspect of himself. It wasn't until I knew that I didn't know God as my father that then God could start working it into my life. And until you know and experience the name and presence and the immensity of God himself in a new capacity, you can't live it out. You've got to experience it then to live it. Amen? And in Ezekiel, the word says in chapter 34, there were shepherds there that were not doing their job. And it tells us this is what they weren't doing. You have not strengthened the sick. You have not healed the sick. You haven't mended the hurt. You have or crippled. You have not bandaged them. You have not brought them back. You have not gone to look for the lost. In other words, there was a hopeless situation. The shepherds were not doing what they should have been doing. But then God says, because of this, I will rescue my sheep. How many of you have been rescued? Amen? Have you come from a pit? Different pit to me, I dare say. But you know, everybody has come from their own pit. Amen? But he rescued you. He rescued. And he says, I will rescue you out of all places. Maybe today you feel in a hopeless situation. Maybe today you can't see a way out. I want to say the good shepherd is here to rescue you and lead you out and bring you in. It says, I will bring them out. I will gather them. I will feed them and take them to good pasture. You know, he doesn't take you to a scrawny place where there's no good food at all, because the good shepherd goes before. And then it says here, I will seek that which is lost. I just talked, you don't mind me saying, Claire, do you? You know, he got after you, didn't he? Yes. He didn't go out. He goes after us. Aren't you glad he does? I'm so, so glad. Okay, I was 40 years old when he went after me. But he'd been trying for so many years and I never noticed. But you know, he says, I will seek out. And then in verse 22 of chapter 34 of Ezekiel, he said, I will rescue my flock. And I will raise up over them one shepherd. Here's the name, Jehovah Rohi. One shepherd. Who is he pointing to? Jesus, who says in John 10, I am the good shepherd and I lay down my life. I do it voluntarily, he says. Nobody forces me to. I lay it down. So, you see, the good shepherd always goes before his sheep. And to find out how he can go before you, you need to know about the shepherd. So, I've got a few things here. Skippy, can you come, darling? Right, okie dokie. Right. Now, how many of you know, some of these things are going to surprise you, okay? Right, okay. Right, let's put that down. You have to use your imagination. This is a crook or a staff, okay? It's about the right size, okay? Now, because of the sun and in the hot countries, they have to wear a covering. Okay. Right.
by face and not by sight.
So, okay, right, just about. Now, did you know? I didn't know. They always have a cape around them. But in those days, it had to be a cape of many colours. Who had a coat of many colours? His name was Joseph. Amen. So we put a coat of many colours around him. Okay. Amen. I want you to get a picture of this. Because if you get this revelation, it can change your life. So there it is around him. Okay. Now then, he also has a belt. And the belt goes round here. Can somebody, Bessie, can you come and tie it? Because I've got one hand out of sync here. He has a belt. Not to keep his trousers up, but to have that. Now, on this belt, he puts a rod. Okay? Right? Okie dokie. Now then, remember, you've always got to remember, the good shepherd goes before his sheep. He has brought them to know his voice. He knows every sound they make. Once we were given a cottage in the Brecon Beacons, and we saw all these sheep, and we thought we'd go and say hello to them. They didn't take any notice of us at all. They did, you're right. But the shepherd came, and he just called, "Coo!" Oh, he made a noise, actually. And there they ran from the far end of the field, because they recognized the shepherd's voice. With the good shepherd, he has to have an intimacy with us. That he recognizes, what does Hebrews 8 say? He hears the cry, and he runs to us. You think, oh, why isn't God taking any notice of me? No, don't listen to the lies of the enemy. He hears every single cry, and he comes. Now I want to tell you what happened on this farm, in the same place where David Owen was. It's when he was still alive, and they were bringing the sheep from the hills down to the farmhouse. And they heard, meh, meh. And they went back because they were ahead and the sheep were following them. And they found that one of the sheep had fallen over the ledge. And so the little lad said, Daddy, let's get it. And his daddy said, no. And they went back to the house. And the little boy couldn't understand. Why didn't his daddy rescue the little sheep? Because it had fallen over the cliff and it was stuck on a little ledge. But the next day, they went there. And they could still hear, meh, meh, meh. And again, he turned round. He went back to the house. He did this every day for 7 days. And his son would say, Daddy, it's hurting there. He said, watch, son. And on the 7th day, when he went there, and he stood at the top of the cliff, he didn't hear a sound, only meh, meh. And he said, come on now, get all the people. Now is the time to rescue him. So they got the ropes. He went down, and he put the rope around and brought the sheep up. Laid it on his shoulders. That's what the good shepherd does. And brought it back. And the little lad said, but why, Daddy? He said, because if I had gone down when there was still enough life left in it, it would have jumped to its death. Some of you are wondering why God hasn't answered you quicker. He's waiting for you to come to the end of yourself. Your own resources will lead you into trouble. Not into safety. And the good shepherd knows the timing. And if it seems he's waiting, That's what Jesus did with Lazarus, wasn't it? Because he knew what he was going to do. So the good shepherd goes before. Now, every night, he's got to find a beautiful place so that the sheep can be safe. Where there's a kind of entrance place. And around with probably a hedge or some stone wall there. And when he finds it, he calls the sheep. So, will you just come? You're coming calling the sheep. Okay, okay. Well, I don't know. Doesn't matter. You imagine it. Okay. Now he's found it. Now listen, I want you to get this revelation. We're talking about the revelation of the good shepherd who goes before you and me. Just like he goes before his sheep. He finds the safe place. So, he puts this staff into the soft ground, right in the middle, okay? He takes off his rod. You'll have to help me carry, perhaps you can do it. And he takes off his belt. Yeah, takes off his belt, okay. Yes. Okay. And then he puts the rod across. Yes, that's right. Go on. Hard, that's it, round, make it secure. It was a leather belt he would use, okay? Really strong, there. Tie it, that's it. What is he making? A cross, yeah. Why is he making it? You have a look and see now. And he takes his robe. He takes his headdress off. Okay, and he puts it on the top, and he puts the robe around. Wait a minute, so that it, yeah, that's it, like that. Okay, now you've got to pretend and imagine it's stuck in the ground. Did you know that sheep are stupid? Did you know they can only see 15 feet in front of them? God doesn't want us to see a long way away. So he's put that there. And the sheep see that. And they believe it's him. So they go close to the cross. All night long they lay there safe. While, okay, you go. You go down to the gate and you lie across the gateway, and the shepherd becomes the doorway. He lays down his life. Oh, aren't you going? Never mind. But do you get, as the wind blows, the sheep know that they are safe at the foot of the cross. Do you know you're safe at the foot of the cross? When night time comes, when darkness invades your lives, and it can do you come to the foot of the cross? The good shepherd shows us the way. Every time that the name of God is revealed, you'll find the cross is there. I see so many people. Can I put that up somewhere around at the back or something like that? Okay, thank you, Kerry. You would think the sheep would know it's not him, wouldn't you? But they don't. They just run to the place that every night, that's why it's got to be a bright robe, because they won't notice otherwise. And when the wind blows through it, they think it's him. And they know they'll be safe with him. But he has laid himself bare to be the door, so that nothing is going to come near the sheep. Did you know that that is what Jesus Christ did for you? When he hung on the cross, he laid himself bare. People like to think he was dressed in a nice loincloth. No, he was naked. Every part of him hurting. Every part of him disjointed. But what did he shout out after he put everything into Father's hands? Into your hands, I commit my spirit. Do you know, hell must have been screaming. But Jesus cried out louder, it's finished! It's finished! I've defeated the enemies. The enemies that get near you. The doubts, the pains, the sicknesses. Every single thing that comes close to you, pressurizes you. The weariness, the hurts, the pains. He took it upon himself. He is the good shepherd. And when, do you know, there are sometimes, I'm sure this is none of you, little sheep, little lambs can be a bit rebellious. Not you? Probably, like me. And he notices those spirited little lambs. And he wants to train them. So the shepherd also has a big pouch full of food, nice tidbits, just what they like. And so when he sees a little lamb, there's a little bit, you know, wants to wander around. Have you seen them go through hedges and they can never find their way back because they can't see? They can go. And we're the same. We can't find our own way back. So he searches for us. But he tries to train us so that the good things that we get are from him and him alone. And you know, sometimes they respond. Now, you're not going to like this, but this is fact. But some little lambs, they don't respond. And he's tried so much to train them with the good things, to give them the blessings. Maybe he's been trying to train you with the blessings. But you can still go your own way. You still want my way and not his way. And so, when he sees that, because he cherishes the little lamb, he picks it up and breaks its leg. And then he bandages it up. Now it can't walk. So inside his cape is another little pouch. And he puts the little lamb right deep into the little pouch, right by his heart. And he'll keep it there while the little leg is mending. That little lamb only gets food from his hand. That little lamb only hears the heartbeat of the Good Shepherd. If you're wondering why you haven't fulfilled your destiny yet, or it seems long time in coming, maybe you just need a time when you put close to his heart and he tunes your heart to his heart. And there comes a time when that little lamb, ooh, it's mended and he puts it down. He doesn't want to stray. It wants to stay because now he's got a love relationship. I know God longs for a love relationship with each one of us. We have so many other loves. I love my car. I love my job. I love food. I love my wife. I love my children. Where is our love? Where's that first love? The Good Shepherd is looking for the lambs today that will give him the opportunity to lift you close. Fine-tune your heart. I find it wonderful. And yet still, I probably get to go away. Not away from God, but, oh, I think that's a good idea. Jill said, oops, that's not a good idea. That's your way, not my way. Have you found that? We have always got this tendency to do what we think is right. But when we're in a love relationship with our good shepherd,
you won't want to go away. And even if you do, he says, I'm going to find you. I'm going to put you on my shoulders. I'm going to carry you for a while. Have you been carried by the Good Shepherd? I have. I know I have. So many, many, many times. There's one more thing I just want to share this morning. Sometimes a little lamb dies when its mother is giving birth. And the mother has got plenty of milk. And the Good Shepherd knows she needs another little lamb to suckle her. Because she's got plenty to give. But you know, she doesn't want another lamb. She wants her lamb. And sometimes we're like that. Lord, I don't want something else. I want... Do you understand what I'm saying? So do you know what the shepherd does? He takes the little dead lamb and he flays it. That is to say, he takes the skin off the dead lamb and he puts its little legs into the skin, the coat in the front and in the back, puts the body of the fleece over, puts the head over, and now the sheep will accept that little lamb. Never reject it, ever. Do you know why? She smells the blood. She smells the blood. Listen, when the devil smells the blood of Jesus on us, he can't get near us because we are accepted in the Beloved. We are accepted because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are one with him. The Good Shepherd has adopted us as his very, very own. What does Jesus say? I will never, never reject you because I've accepted you in the Beloved. He is truly the Good Shepherd. There's so much more I could share, but I believe that's enough for this morning. I can only speak out what God has given me to speak. I just pray that there's something in you that says, I want to know this Good Shepherd in a way that is tied intrinsically with the cross of Jesus Christ. I meet so many people that are up and down Christians. Oh, they're fine. God has answered their prayers and they're fine. And there's something else. The wind blows something else and whoops. And you take one look at them and you think, how are they today? Whoops. You know, if you run to the cross, and you allow once again the blood of Jesus to come and cleanse you. What does he say? The Good Shepherd said, I will bring you back. And I believe this morning there are people, you've lost that fire and passion that you had. Some of you a long time ago. And God wants to awaken it. So would you stand up together with me? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Kerry. Thank you, Lord. Now, I believe that you had the opportunity to make sure that Jesus was your Savior. Yes? Let's do it again. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, just close your eyes and think what an amazing truth that is. He is the good shepherd. He sees you, hears your cry, and has rescued you. I want you to begin to have thanksgiving in your heart that he rescued you. Oh, maybe it seemed a long time. Maybe you went through hell and backwards like I did. But that day he rescued you. Was when he showed you what a wonderful good shepherd he is. Lots of people want his care, want his leading,
His guiding. Want to be as David found, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But they emphasize the shall not want instead of the Lord is my shepherd. And he leads you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's only a shadow. Because he goes ahead of you. He deals with the enemies of your life. He had victory over them on the cross. Let thankfulness rise within each person. I can't give it to you. But when you look at what the good shepherd did for you, you never asked him to lay down his life. He did it before you knew him. He took your sins before you knew you were a sinner. He took your pains before you had any pains. He took your brokenness before you knew you were broken. And he came, Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, to heal the brokenhearted. Just begin to praise him where you are. Lift up your hands in sweet surrender. If you want to surrender to him, just give him your all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're a wonderful good shepherd, caring for you. Do you know you're allowed to be small and insignificant? He can lift you up in his arms and he can hold you close. If you've been living without this revelation, just reach out to God and say, God, your name is a good shepherd. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I am a little lamb. I do wonder. Come on, confess these things to him. You do still want your own ways in so many different ways. But he says, today I want to pick you up. Today I want to hold you close. Just to look at this mother and child. If I took her, she wouldn't like it. But because she has a relationship, she's happy, content. Yes, there's still life in her. She's looking around. But she's safe. You need to be safe. Safe in his arms. This little one recognized its mother's voice even in the womb. God says he knit you together in your mother's womb. Maybe your mum wasn't a good mum. Maybe your dad wasn't a good dad like my dad. But I tell you, there is one, the good shepherd, who will hold you, nourish you, tend you, mend you, lead you, lift you. Begin to worship him. Oh, my shepherd. Oh, my shepherd. Lift me up. Where I am,
embrace you this morning. There's some of you, you don't know which way to go. He's a good shepherd. Follow close. Follow close. He'll not lead you into bad places. He will lead you into good pastures. He will make you what He wants you to be. Those that can make a difference. Those that walk down the highways of darkness and bring light. Those that stand on the mountains of doubt and speak faith. He will make you those with arms that will reach out to those that are hurting. And you'll become like the Good Shepherd, reaching into people's lives with the love of God. Oh, let Him become to you what you need Him to be. He's a good shepherd. He laid down Himself for you. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. He will commit to bring you through. He will commit to complete what He started in you. He will match you with a people who will lift up your arms so that you are not alone. I believe there are people here that are feeling lonely. Even in a marriage, you can feel lonely. God says, I'm coming as your good shepherd, and I will hold you. My touch is there for you. What a joy.